ॐ ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। So Shankara continues with the 24th shloka. So again and again we have to get back to Vedantic truth of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So a person might think, why emphasizing again and again the same thing, repetition of the same thing again and again? So that's where we have to understand that it's for us not to deviate from the path. Person might falter down. So after hearing about various forms of Devi, after hearing beautiful description of Devi, we'll tend to fall down. We'll tend to get diverted into the form rather than contemplating on Nirguna Brahman. It's very easy to get distracted. It's not, distraction is not only with respect to worldly objects, but distraction can also be with respect to spiritual objects as well. So that's the reason why many people start doing meditation and then instead of knowing the real import of meditation or real purpose of meditation, which is gaining concentration, gaining strength of the mind and then progressing to contemplate on Brahman, instead of that people just stick on to meditation. So I was not able to do meditation today, therefore I feel very bad. So there are many people who claim, I didn't chant Lalita Sahasranama, I feel as if I'm missing something. So that shouldn't happen. The main purpose of all those sadhana is for realization, it's for Nididhyasanam. The moment we forget Nididhyasanam, then all this vanish. And just because the aim of meditation, the aim of sadhana is Nididhyasanam, we cannot say, I'll not do meditation. I'll go for other things. I'll go for driving lessons, but I'll not do meditation. I'll not do 8 hours sadhana, but I'll spend like 1 hour, 2 hours for driving lesson. If somebody says like that, then the fault is with us. It's not with the spiritual path as such. It's not with the sadhana as also. We cannot say that just because I am doing Nididhyasanam, I will get rid of sadhana. So sadhana nirmuktaha. Shankara speaks about a person as sadhana nirmuktaha, a person who doesn't need to do sadhana. Such a person is a jivan mukta. Until we are jivan mukta, we should never get away from sadhana. We cannot say, I won't do sadhana. Hariram is not doing sadhana, therefore I will not do sadhana. I am not getting time, therefore I will not do sadhana. I am spending 1 hour in Saundarya Lahari, therefore I'll reduce my meditation, I'll reduce my chanting time. If somebody says like that, then you'll have to, or Ishvara would then say that, okay, if that is the case, then I'll postpone your realization to the next birth. So that's it. That's the trade-off that we will be making if we postpone things. So we shouldn't postpone things, we shouldn't get rid of our spiritual sadhana just for the sake of Shravanam. As well as we shouldn't get away from sadhana saying that, oh, Hariram says that we need to always contemplate on Brahman. Balakrishna Nair says, whenever you are doing anything, think about Brahman. Krishna says the same thing, like whatever you do, offer it on to me. So that's what Krishna says, therefore I'll do bad things. If somebody does that, then it is like telling Krishna had 16,000 wives, therefore I'll also marry 16,000 people. So as Bhagavatam says, the Rasa Leela portion says about Krishna, comparing with Krishna and saying, okay, I'll also do what Krishna does. That means we'll also have to do what he did, not only just one aspect or one part of his life. We should follow his entire life. So we should start from his birth. We should get our birth in a jail. We should be separated from our parents. We should kill asuras. We should do all those things. Imagine if we'll be able to do. So just because scriptures say that you need to always have focus on Brahman and all sadhana is meant for that, we shouldn't get rid of sadhana. As long as we are realized, we shouldn't get rid of sadhana. Sadhana is the only thing that makes us efficient enough to ward off troubles from the entire world. So the troubles that we have from the world, obstacles that we attain or we see from the world, that will be warded off only through sadhana. So sadhana and shravanam. Shravanam and vidhyasanam, or learning and sadhana, both have to go hand in hand. We cannot say, I don't need one, I only need the other one. But even while doing sadhana, so we shouldn't be the extreme that, okay, I'll stick on to sadhana, I'll not go beyond. We shouldn't be like that, nor should we get rid of sadhana completely. We shouldn't be both extreme. We have to have sadhana as well as learning. So it is in Vedantic or like in yoga terminology, it's called tapaha and swadhyayam. Tapas swadhyayam. Tapas and swadhyayam. Swadhyayam means learning oneself. That means learning and tapas. Tapas means practice, spiritual practices. So we need spiritual practices as well as we need learning as well. We cannot say one is not required. But even while doing sadhana, if we don't remember Brahman, then our sadhana will become a waste. We'll end our life. When we end our life, we'll say, I learned Vedanta for 50 years, but still I haven't gained any happiness. I've been learning Saundarya Lahiri since 1 year. I've been learning all other works of Shankara, but still I feel as if I'm missing something. I'm not content with life. I'm not satisfied with what I have. I don't have bliss. I don't have peace. So that would be the state. And it won't just end there. Then such a person will turn an atheist. He'll say, there is no God at all. There is nothing called bliss. Everything is only temporary. And he'll go the right, the exact opposite direction. So we need to ensure that we don't go that side or this side. So even while learning the work of Saundarya Lahiri, we need to remember. So learning of Saundarya Lahiri and then implementing in our meditation, implementing in it in our daily life, day-to-day life, by like we saw yesterday, seeing Devi everywhere, making Devi pervade the entire world, whether Devi or any other Ishta Devata, pervade that Devata everywhere. So when you go to work, I am driving in my car. So the car is Brahman, car is Devi. And when I go to office, I see my co-workers, they are also Devi. I sit in front of the computer, computer is also Devi. And the words that I type, that are also Devi. So everything is Devi, then life will become blissful. So we will not be running away from life, but life will become blissful. That is the purpose of learning such devotional work, so that we can implement it very easily in our life, rather than Vedantic way of telling that you are Sakshi. So we can say, I am Sakshi, and like as long as we don't end up in trouble, we can say, I am Sakshi, I am Sakshi, I am Sakshi. When something goes wrong with us, oh, I am not the Sakshi. At that time, everything will go. Aren't you the Sakshi? No, I am not the Sakshi. That is just at that time, not now. So it will vanish. So this way of always remembering Ishvara, seeing him everywhere, is very simple. It doesn't need any effort at all. It's very simple and simple. But we just need to remember it. So that is what we should be striving for. We should be striving for implementing any little or small concept that we gain out of these learning of these works. Saundarya Lahiri and other works, so that we can implement it in life. But even while implementing, we need to know that, oh Devi, you alone are present here. Vidya Jagad Adhishthana, you are the substratum of the illusory world. The entire world has come from you. So you are the basis for the entire world. Therefore, protect me. I'll see you everywhere. So that's how we need to implement it as well. remembering that Advitiya Brahman or Advitiya Devi, the form of Devi is an illusion. Devi is nothing but Brahman, Nirguna Brahman or Parabrahman as Shankara or Vedanta terms. So we have to remember that. If we don't remember that, then we'll not gain the real benefit out of Saundarya Lahari. We'll be able to implement some things in life, but at the end of our life, we will be dissatisfied. So it will be a dissatisfied state at the end of our life. Therefore, we should ensure that we utilize such work to its maximum. So we utilize it not only for our contemplation on Brahman, but we can use it in many ways. So for Dhyanam, I'll try to chant one of the shlokas of Saundarya Lahari. I'll chant the shloka of Saundarya Lahari. O Devi, you are Arunabham. You are like bright red in color. It's as if like you are red rays are coming out of you. So all those can be used in meditation and chanting of the shloka, and then contemplating meditation will become very easy. And implementation in life, as well as ways of contemplating, ways of always thinking, oh, how can I bring in Devi? So today is Shivaratri. How can I bring in Devi into Shivaratri? Oh Devi, today is Shivaratri. I'll just try to remember you. As long as I can be awake, till what time, whatever time I can stay or remain awake, I'll remain awake remembering you. I'll be praying you. I'll pray your names. And if I go to sleep, O Devi, forgive me. I'll try to remember you in dream, in sleep as well. So those are ways in which we can implement. But while implementing as well, we should remember that what the basis for Devi as well is Nirguna Parabrahman. So in this particular shloka, Shankara speaks about Devi as composed of five deities. So Pancha Brahma Sanasanai Namaha, Pancha Brahma Asanai Namaha. Devi's asanam, Devi's posture, or like the place or the cot or the where Devi sits, asanam is made up of five deities. So that means Devi can be considered to be five deities. So Lalita Sahasranama says Pancha Brahmasanahai Namaha. So in that, like Srishti Kartri Namaha, Brahma Rupai Namaha. So one is Brahma who does Srishti, Goptri Namaha, Govinda Rupinye Namaha, Goptri or protection, which is Vishnu. And the next one is Rudra who does destruction. So destruction and Rudra, so those are the three legs of the cot or the chair which Devi is sitting. And then the fourth one is what? All these three devatas together, they all become Ishvara. Om Ishwaraya Namaha. Tirodha, Om Tirodhana Kariye Namaha. Om Ishwariye Namaha. Ishvara, when these three deities mix together, Brahma, Vishnu and Rudra mix together, then they vanish and become Ishvara. So that vanishing state of all these three devatas mixing together, that means all three vanishing, that state is called Ishvara, who vanishes. And when Ishvara, like when these three merge and Ishvara is there who vanishes, then a form should appear that is called Sadashiva. Om Sadashivaya Namaha, Om Anugrahadaya Namaha. Sadashiva comes to give Anugraham. So that means Devi is composed of, Devi is sitting on Sadashiva. Sadashiva as the pillow or a cloth over the cot which has four legs, which are Brahma, Vishnu, Rudra and Ishvara. So Devi is made up of all these five. So if we worship Devi, then Srishti, Titi, Layam and like vanishing and Anugraham. Finally, Anugraham will happen for a person. So if we see it from a different perspective, Srishti, Stiti, Layam, when Srishti, Stiti, Layam, all three vanish, all three merge, we know that they are an illusion, we go beyond them, then they'll merge together, they'll vanish completely. And then Anugraham will come. That means we have to go beyond the world. We have to go beyond Srishti Sthiti Layam of the world. So when we go beyond the world, then we will gain anugraham from Sadashiva. So anugraham in the form of Anandam. So how does Sadashiva or these three devatas plus Ishvara, how do they work? Like what makes them work? So Shankara in Viveka Churamani, he says that Yasya Sannidhi Matrena. So there is a similar shloka in Vishnu Sahasranama as well, but here Shankara in Viveka Chudamani speaks about the Atman as the force behind all actions. So the mere presence of the Atman is enough for actions to start. So actions, imagine the state of doing an action without consciousness. Without consciousness, no action is possible. But consciousness doesn't take any part in action. But its very presence is enough for actions to be started. So actions happen just by the mere presence of consciousness. So similarly, all these three devatas have to be made active by, or like the each of the action, like Srishti, Sthiti, Layam, Tirodhanam and Anugraham. If all these need to happen, who is the power behind all this? So Shankara is telling, we don't need to doubt at all, it is Devi who is acting through all these. So Devi is responsible for Srishti Sthiti Layam, and a person who asks Devi, he will get Srishti. It's like Srishti, Devi creates something for him. Some people say, okay Devi, I want protection. So Devi gives protection through Vishnu. Some people say, I want to destroy another person. Devi does that as well. Destroy other people or destroy bad qualities. So that also Devi does. And some people say, oh Devi, I want to go beyond these. That is when Devi gives anugraham. So instead of asking for worldly things, asking for the world, we need to go beyond the world. The moment we go beyond the world and ask moksha, then Devi will give anugraham through Sadashiva. So here Shankara, in a very beautiful way, Shankara says that, says as to how Devi activates or does the activities through these five people. So the way he says it is quite beautiful. And this shloka is set in the raga called, it has two names like Churuti or Shuruti. So I don't know the right name. So it's called Shuruti or Churuti as well they call. So I don't know any songs in it, so it's not that popular raga. So it goes like this. Jagat Sute Data Hariravati Rudrakshapayate Tiraskurvannetat Swamapiva Purishas Tirayati Sada Purva Sarvam Tadidam Anugrihnati Cha Shiva Tavajnam Alamya Shana Chalita Yor Bhrulatika Yor. I may not have sung the raga to perfection, so I sincerely apologize for the same. So let's see what Shankara says here. Jagat Sute Data. Data. Data means the father. That's the direct meaning. So here Data means Brahma. Jagat Sute. Jagat Sute. Sute means creates. Jagat. So Data Jagat Sute. Brahma creates the world. Avati. Harihi Avati. Harir Avati. Harihi Avati. Avati means Ava means protection. So Avati protects who? Hari, Vishnu protects. And Shapayate, Shapayate means destroys. Destroys who? Rudraha. Rudraha destroys. And Ishaha. Ishaha. Ishaha means like Ishvara, the fourth person. The fourth person, Yetat. Yetat means, Yetad means whatever has been explained till now. That means the three people. So, Ishaha, Ishvara, these three people ஏதத் திரஸ்குருவன். ஸோ ஈஸ்வரா, ஸோ ஈஸ்வரா மேக்ஸ் தீஸ் த்ரீ பீப்புள் வேனிஷ். ஸோ ஏதத் திரஸ்குருவன், ஸோ ஈஸ்வரா மேக்ஸ் ஆல் தீஸ் த்ரீ பீப்புள் வேனிஷ். அண்ட் வபுஹு ஸ்வம் வபுஹு அபி, ஸ்வம் வபுஹு, வபுஹு மீன்ஸ் வி சா த வேர்ட் எஸ்டர்டே, ஸோ வபுஹு மீன்ஸ் ஷரீரம், ஸ்வம் வபுஹு அபி ஹிஸ் ஓன் பாடி திரயதி vanishes. So that means Brahma creates, Vishnu protects, Rudra destroys, and Ishvara vanishes all these three people along with their activities, and himself he vanishes. So that is what is meant there. So when these three merge, when these three merge and vanish, so first they three vanish, they three become one, so that person, so they three become a form which itself vanishes. So that is Ishvara. And after that what happens? Sada Purvaha Shivaha. So Sada Purvaha Shivaha. Shivaha means Shiva. Sada Purvaha means Purvaha Sada. So a person, Shiva, who has, the particular Shiva who has Purvaha Sada, who has Sada before his name. So that is Sada Shivaha. So Sada Shivaha Sarvam Tadidham. So Tadidham. Tadidam sarvam. So all these, all of these, tadidam. So Sadashiva is the person who finally controls all this. And what does he do? Anugrihnati. He gives anugraham. He blesses everyone. So sarvam tadidam can mean these four people or everybody. So he blesses everybody. So Brahma does creation, Vishnu does protection, Rudra does destruction, and all these three, Ishvara vanishes all these three and he himself vanishes, and Sadashiva, he blesses everyone. But how does this happen? Tava ajnyam alambhya. Tava ajnya, your words, your ajnya means like kind of instruction or what kings say, okay, this is, you should do this. So your words alambhya, following your words, all these people work. So Shiva blesses everybody, and all these actions, all these actions, like all these five people and their activities happen because of your instruction. And your instruction, how do you give instruction? Is it like going, setting up a meeting, going to a conference room and then saying, okay, you do this, you do that, you do this? No. Then what? Kshana chalitayoho, chalitayoho movement, kshanam, very light, minute movement. Movement of what? Brula tikayoho. Bru latikayoho. Bru means bru madhyam, or like the puruvam it's called in Tamil. So it means like eyebrows. And latikayoho, by the hair in the eyebrow, by just slightly moving the hair in your eyebrows, you instruct these people. That means just a movement of your eyebrow is enough to make these people work. So that is what, just one slight movement of your eyebrow makes people do activities. So that means everything in the world, inclusive of worldly actions, Srishtisthitilayam, or even anugraham, even moksha, everything happens just by your slight movement. If your slight movement can help a person in many ways, then what to speak about a person who completely gains your concentration? So you just raise your eyebrows a little bit and things happen. That means it's like telling, okay, if Bill Gates goes to a particular restaurant, he just needs to move his eyebrow. He just need to just move it a little bit and they will give him whatever he wants. So that means like, with his entire, like if you gain his confidence, then you can gain a lot of things. Similarly, if Devi's slight movement of her eyebrows can cause such activities, then what would the effect be if we gain Devi's confidence? So that means we need to totally surrender to Devi. We need to apprehend the karuna or the compassion that flows out of Devi. So if we are able to do that, what is the use of doing that? If we do that, we will not only gain anugraham, but we will gain worldly pleasures as well. So a person who is worshipping Devi, a person who is spiritual, doesn't mean that he will not have anything in the world. Doesn't mean that he will wear one kaupinam like Ramana Maharshi. A person who is spiritual will have whatever is essential in the world, because he doesn't seek things, things seek him. So it's like Amma, when Amma was living like 20, 25, 30 years back, in late 70s, 1970s, late 70s. So at that time she didn't have anything. That was only when we went to meet Amma in 1991. At that time there was only a thatched hut. So there was only a thatched hut which could accommodate like hardly 50 people. So we used to stand out. The queue used to go out and it was scorching. The sun would be like kind of noon sun. So sun would be right above our head and it will be really heat. The heat will be too much. Yet we'll be just standing and then we'll be going in. So Amma started with just one kalari. That's it. One, not even a room. It's an open space where has Devi's Vigraham. That she started with that and now she has an entire mission. So she has followers all over the world. She has anything and everything. So when Michael Schumacher donated millions of rupees for tsunami and other things, Amma also donated. So Michael Schumacher gains or gets a lot of money, but Amma doesn't have any income at all. So whatever she has, she just gives. So that means she doesn't need anything, but when the need comes, things go to her. She doesn't need to go to them, things go to her. How does that happen? How will it happen that whatever I need, I'll get? That is when Devi moves her eyebrows a little bit, we will get whatever we need in life. So that means including moksha, and everything we'll be gaining if we gain Devi's confidence. Oh, that means like we don't need knowledge, we just need bhakti. Somebody says like that, then he's a foolish person, because unless we know who is Devi, unless we know that Devi is the person who is present everywhere, Devi is the all-pervasive deity, she is the substratum of the entire world, unless we know that, we'll not be asking moksha, because we'll be going behind worldly pleasures. If we know that Devi is the reality that is to be achieved in life, then we will ask for it. And when we ask for spiritual progress, when we ask for moksha, then automatically we will get worldly pleasures, because unless a person has a house, some basic clothing and the bare essential or bare minimum needed food and all, he'll not be able to progress in the spiritual life. So if a person asks for moksha, then Devi herself will grant all these things. So that is what the shloka says. The shloka says, know Devi to be Brahman and then completely surrender to Devi. So by Devi's grace, when we surrender, we become eligible to grasp or apprehend Devi's grace. The ever-present Devi's grace, we are not able to apprehend. But the moment we apprehend it, the moment we tune in with Devi, that very moment we'll be able to get Anandam. So whatever we need in life, we'll be able to get it. And a person, I am tuned to Devi, my frequency is tuned to Devi, yet I ask only worldly pleasures. That itself means that the person is not tuned to Devi's frequency. The moment we completely surrender to Devi, then we say, oh Devi, I don't need anything. Give me what you think as good. That means Devi will give only moksha. That means such a person can ask only moksha. So a person who is tuned to Devi will ask nothing but moksha alone. Oh Devi, let me remember you always. Let me remember that you are Nirguna Brahman. Let me remember that truth of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Vinaparaha. Let me remember that there is only Brahman here always. That will be the boon. That will be what a person will ask Devi rather than any worldly pleasure. So this also means that Devi is capable of not only giving worldly pleasures, but Devi is capable of giving anugraham through Shiva. So anugraham is giving anandam, jnanam and moksha. So that means from this day onwards, once we learn this shloka, if we want to really implement it, then we shouldn't be asking Devi anything. The moment we want to ask something, oh Devi, I need a car, that very moment this shloka should come to our mind and we should feel ashamed of ourselves that we even thought about asking something to Devi other than moksha, because Devi is capable of giving everything including anugraham and moksha. So if Devi is capable of giving anugraham and moksha, instead of gaining that, we shouldn't go behind worldly pleasures. So worldly, we can see it from a different perspective as well. Worldly pleasures means it is one among the five people who are made to act by Devi. If we ask moksha, it is attaining Devi. So if we ask for worldly things, that means we are asking one of the five people who are controlled by Devi rather than Devi. So if only we know that what the worldly pleasures that we are asking is controlled by just one person who is one among the five controlled by Devi, then we will try to gain Devi. So it's like telling a greedy person will never go behind petty things. He will try to go for the real thing. So even if there is some petty thing, he will use it. He will use and misuse it in order to gain something big. So we need to gain. It's like using small fish to bait the big fish. That is how fishing is done. The logic behind fishing is using small fish to bait and then as bait and then catch big fish. So similarly, a person who knows that Devi is the person controlling all this, he will be going behind Devi. That Devi who alone is present here, that Devi who can be achieved or realized through jnanam and complete surrender. So such a person will not ask for worldly pleasures. So after learning this shloka, from this moment onwards, we should try to find out how much we are really implementing it. If we ask, if we go to Amma and ask, Oh Amma, my father has some loan, please solve that. Oh Amma, I am in trouble now, like please help me. Oh Amma, I need money, give me. If we ask like that, then that means we are not implementing it. Unless we implement it, it will not give us the real fruit of anugraham. So if we need anugraham, then we need to implement. We need to stop asking anything and everything other than moksha. The only thing that we need to ask is, oh Amma, I need only moksha. And for me to attain moksha, I need to always contemplate you. Oh Amma, let me always contemplate you because I need moksha. I know that you are the person behind the entire world. You are the only reality present. Therefore, let me always see you everywhere and let me ask moksha. So that is the import of this particular shloka. So let's try to implement it in life so that it doesn't merely help us only in our sadhana, but it helps us in achieving the goal, because Devi is a person who is capable of giving even anugraha if she becomes convinced. So if Devi has to be convinced, then we need to have the earnest desire and live by the desire. So I want moksha, and then doing all sorts of things like I want moksha but I won't learn, I want moksha but I'll still go behind worldly pleasures, that means we are not really having that desire, and we cannot try to fool Devi. So we should never, and we can never outsmart the divine. As Sri Sri Ravi Shankar says, never try to outsmart the divine. Devi knows sarvajnaha, Devi knows everything. Yes, sarvajnaha sarvavid, yes, yesha mahima bhuvihi. So Devi knows everything, sarvajnaha, Devi knows everything. If Devi knows everything, then how can we try to cheat her? How can we try to convince her without real desire. If we don't have real desire, then we will know it. If Devi knows it, then we will not gain Anandam. If we need Anandam, which is the real essence to be achieved through Saundarya Lahari, then we need to stop asking anything and everything other than Moksha. Oh Devi, you activate, you work everything, so just give me Moksha so that and everything else will be there for me. I don't need anything in the world, because all those are temporary, they'll vanish. So I need the permanent bliss. And if I have the permanent bliss, then I don't need anything. So whatever is there, let it happen. But I'll not go behind worldly pleasures. I need only Moksha. We'll continue with the next sloka in the next day. Hari Om.